The reply all command might more properly be labeled cringe. You write snarky remarks about the boss's email to your buddy, but hit reply all. Of course, confusing the forward and reply commands can achieve the same level of agita. Last month, Michael Agger wrote a column for Slate called Can't Believe I Just Sent That, How to Prevent Embarrassing Misfired Emails. The response was so huge, he wrote a follow-up with some of the best responses. And yes, we want yours today. What was the worst email gaffe that you ever committed or encountered? Come on, fess up. Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Michael Agger is Slate's senior editor, and he joins us today from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you.
And here's an email we got earlier from Kevin in St. Paul. A coworker of mine at a previous company sent an email to all 5,000-plus employees telling us the computers were now up and running and ended it with, sorry for any incontinence.
Well, that actually sounds like a different kind of error. It seems like, you know, maybe the autocorrect on his, you know, sometimes when the speller doesn't autocorrect.
Well, he spelled it properly. I just think he formulated it improperly. You're talking really about more about those heated emails that we want to fire off in response to some idiotic memo we got from the boss and send it to the boss by mistake.
Yeah, that the classic error is that you get some email that drives you crazy and you say, you know, can you believe what I have to put up with from this idiot? And instead of sending, you know, forwarding it to your buddy, you reply to the person and they, of course, read it. And the other big thing that people seem to do is we've come to rely on autocomplete. That's when you type in a few letters of an email address and then hit return and the email program fills in the rest of the address for you. And this has led to all sorts of problems of, you know, you type some lovey-dovey note to your boyfriend about how you miss him at work, and it goes to, instead of going to Brian the boyfriend, it goes to
Brian
the
legal
boss.
Yeah, yeah. Right. There's a famous one you tell that happened to that resulted in a scoop for the New York Times.
Yeah, Eli Lilly was negotiating with the government about, you know, problems with their antipsychotic drug, and a lawyer emailed. Meant to email her co-counsel, Bradford Berenson, but we believe, I can't verify this, but it ended up with the New York Times reporter, Alex Berenson, and they had very similar email addresses, B. Berenson and Berenson. So it was likely that autocomplete was the culprit there.
And ended up on the front page of the newspaper the next morning. Sorry about that. Now, some of these are also the product of, well, misguided instructions. I guess the one that's famous is free bananas.
Yeah, so some lady, you know, she had bananas for lunch and she had a few extra, and so very generously, you know, she said, "There are free bananas in the kitchen." And, you know, some of these large multinational global corporations, when you send a message to all, you know, you're potentially emailing 100,000 people. And so this email, you know, bounced around the entire company. And what would happen is you know, it would sort of go through one division and then let's say in Europe, and then the next morning in Australia, they would wake up and read it, and you know, they would go bananas over this bananas email, and the constant replying to all, you know, generating 100,000 emails each time, you know, brought the email server to its knees.
Also, what doesn't work, you write, is to send out emails saying to everybody saying, "Don't reply to all because it crashes the server."
Yeah, the good Samaritans just make the problem worse. And, you know, often it's the boss who kind of steps in and says, you know, stop replying to all. And that also just creates more traffic and difficulty. So the best thing to do is just stand back and have a laugh or go for a coffee break, and hopefully it'll subside.
Here's a caller, Ashley, with us from Tallahassee in Florida.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Oh, good. I have a very embarrassing story, and I'm one who's not easy to embarrass. A friend of mine had invited me and my family to her son's first birthday party, and she did it via email. And that week, that past week, she had been at our house, and we didn't have air conditioning. It was broken. And we live in North Florida, and it was the dead of summer, so it was pretty awful, and she was pretty sad for us. So by the time I got the email, we had had our air conditioning fixed. So in the email reply, I said, "Oh, of course, we'll be at his birthday party. We can't wait to see you." And then I said, "P.S., and I used a very strong expletive. I basically said, praise blanking Jesus for air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And
so far as we know, Jesus never did that.
She calls me 5 minutes later, and she's like, oh, my God, Ashley, my grandmother just called me and told me that you need to go to church and you have a very dirty mouth. So it turns out I sent this email to her entire family.
Oh, my gosh. We thank you for your indiscretion on the email and for your discretion on the radio.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Ashley. And a lot of these stories, a lot of these stories just can't be repeated on the radio.
Yeah, I think blanking will come in
handy for this discussion.
Yes, for this,
for the purposes of this, because many of them regard people sending admiring or disparaging remarks about other people's body parts.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting about curse words. I mean, so the whole thing about email is just saving us from our idiot selves, and one of the things that email programs could do is sort of analyze your message for any curse words, and then sort of prompt you, say, hey, you've used blankety blank blank and blank, and do you really want to send this email? That could certainly be done and might be helpful.
Well, your original article was in fact about various kinds of devices that are being thought of or implemented, in fact, that can undo or give you another chance to think before you send it.
Yeah, now Gmail now gives you 5 seconds to undo send an email. So when you hit send, there's a little box that comes up, and you can undo it in 5 seconds if you realize you sent it to the wrong person or you reply to everyone's family, say, with an expletive. But
5 seconds doesn't seem like long enough.
Yeah, Google felt that most people realize their errors right away, but in practice, it seems you kind of slap your head in about 2 minutes later when you're like, I just can't believe I just sent that. And unfortunately, once someone reads your email, or once it gets out there, it's really hard to recall it. Some corporate email systems have a feature where it'll say so and so would like to recall the email that was just sent.
Mm-hmm.
But that of course just gives it.
Everybody looks at it then. Yeah,
exactly.
They might have ignored it otherwise. Here's an email from Emily in Franklin, Tennessee. Shortly before my wedding, my mother had emailed a friend of hers about some details related to the event, information I needed to share with my husband. So I forwarded it on to him without reading closely. He mentioned casually to me later that he got the email and hadn't realized my mother didn't like him, which couldn't have been further from the truth. Her email to her friend had talked about how nice my husband was, but not as handsome as the husband of one of my peers. My poor and very handsome husband read this as her not liking him and still brings it up. My mother adores him, however, and I think also finds him quite fetching. Because these messages are not meant to be read, they are taken as absolute gospel by those who receive them inadvertently.
Yes. You put something in writing and people think email is the truth. And that situation just described is also very common in the work world. I mean, someone will have an internal conversation back and forth with a colleague and then, maybe even saying, giving up disclosing information that they shouldn't, and then they'll forward the whole exchange out of the company without realizing that 4 or 5 emails down is information that shouldn't be there.
Let's see if we go to Caleb. Caleb with us from Lawrenceville in New Jersey.
Hi there. Yeah, I just had an interesting story about the reply to all and return receipts. I was sick of getting emails. I've lost my jacket. I've lost this. So I sent an all school email out that said, "Hey, I've lost my mind. If anyone has found it, please return it." Unfortunately, I also had a confirm receipt feature turned on that I'd get an email whenever someone opened my email.
Uh-huh.
And so then once everyone in the school opened this email, I got another email back. And because people were replying, I had put an auto replier that says, "This takes a long time to go through all my messages. Please bear with me while I get back to them." And then for each time that went out, I received another confirmation. So I learned very quickly a lesson in exponential growth, as did the IT people who were forced to deal with something like 250,000 emails generated in 36 hours.
My gosh, that's a question. Yeah, you learned a lot about mathematics.
I did, and I think that they found some fundamental flaws with the email program they were using and made it so that in the future you couldn't check off both the return receipt and the auto reply.
Well, a painful lesson, but well learned. Thank you, Caleb. And here's an email we got from Lindsay in Denver. I wrote my boyfriend a sexy text message in response to one he sent to me. Unknowingly, I had hit reply to a message actually received from my mother. Oops. And Sarah in Durham, North Carolina, I was about to graduate from law school. I got an email from a law professor congratulating me on having been elected to the Order of the Coif, the highest law school honor there is. I was somewhat surprised, but still thrilled. 10 minutes later, I got a second email from the same professor apologizing for having sent the email to the entire class. In the interim, of course, I had told my parents, my husband, and my in-laws. If you've gotten appointed to the Order of the Coif and had it retracted shortly thereafter, send us your favorite email. Gaffes, 800-989-8255 is our phone number, or email us talk@npr.org. We're on the line with Michael Agar, a senior editor at Slate, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation coming to you from NPR News. Let's get Gary on the line. Gary calling us from Grand Rapids.
Yes. I use Gmail, and you guys were discussing Gmail, and Gmail actually has a handy little program that has saved me once. You can actually turn on a Gmail program that'll make you do math functions, simple math functions, before you can send the email late at night. And I had an instance where I had been had one too many drinks and was about to send an email to several friends about another who was on the email list, and I was not able to solve the simple math functions and thus could not send the email out. So it definitely comes in handy, and it's a option that you can turn on to prevent misguided emails from being sent.
And this is apparently called Goggle. Isn't that right, Michael?
Yeah, it's called Mail Goggles. It's
Mail Goggles, exactly.
I think derived from beer goggles, and it's precisely relevant in that case. That's exactly what it's designed to prevent. Late at night, half in the tank email.
And part of the Gmail embarrassment reduction pack.
Exactly, yes. The other one that they have is the forgotten attachment detector. You know, typically when you're sending an attachment, it's often, you know, you're feeling kind of important, like, you know, please see the attached doc. But then, you know, you go ahead and undercut that by forgetting to attach it. So what forgotten attachment detector does is sort of senses whether or not, you know, hey, maybe this email does need a file attached, but there's not, and it will warn you before sending it.
Well, Gary, good luck with your mail goggles.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. This email from Sarah in Boston. I generally have texting errors with my iPhone that fills in words automatically, which is especially problematic when it's the last word of a text and I quickly hit send. As an example, I generally sign off with XOXO, but my iPhone wants it to read COX. Embarrassing to say the least.
Yeah, you know, texting is perhaps even more dangerous than email because, you know, it feels very personal and private but, you know, it's just so quick and it's in, you know, that there's a premium on speed and you can just send the wrong thing instantly. And yeah, autocorrect, you just be wary of it, maybe even turn it off.
This from Jennifer. We had just gotten a new email system at work. My mother kept calling me to send her my wedding budget spreadsheet and I just hadn't gotten to it. When she called a third time, I thought I sent her an email with a subject line of hold your horses, and the spreadsheet was attached. I had actually sent it to the CEO of my company. The new system didn't let me unsend. I couldn't reach his assistant, so I replied with an apology. He was very nice about it and had opened it right away. Apparently, my subject line had caught his eye. Well, it could have been a lot worse than that.
Yeah, people always read the missent email. You just got to take your lumps and apologize. You're never going to get them not to read it or delete it.
And there's no way to get any program, you write about this in your piece as well, that will retrieve emails after any period of time.
I mean, the tech guys told me that, you know, theoretically, it's certainly possible if you're emailing within the same company or the same Gmail to Gmail domain. But, you know, people read emails so quickly now that, you know, the chances of getting it back before they read it are none.
Let's talk with Christy. Christy with us from Boise.
Hey, yes, I thought I had replied to the email of a very good friend, so I poured out my heart and my soul about my recent miscarriage, and I went into more intimate detail, physical detail than I normally would have because she's in the medical field. I realized I had replied to all, so this whole group of about 50 people, mostly men.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it. I felt very embarrassed.
And did it have any unfortunate consequences?
I had, no, not really. I just had a few, 67-year-old men email me back and say, honey, it's okay. So they were good about it.
Well, they were good about it. And I guess the fact of the matter is, Michael Agar, for everybody who says they've been fired for some indiscretion like this, and there are a few, the vast majority of these, they don't go any farther.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you know that you're going to do it too eventually. I think everyone, has some measure of sympathy, of course.
Here's an email from Michelle. I have a coworker who has the same last name as my boss's first name. I was trying to talk her into going to the company Christmas party and said, if it's anything like last year, insert boss's name here. We'll be buying everyone drinks all night long. Well, I sent it to the boss and not to the coworker. I got an email from my boss asking, what? I was so embarrassed, but probably had a good time at the Christmas party anyway. Michael Agar, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Michael Agar is a senior editor at Slate, and he joined us today from our bureau in New York. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, the changing relationship between the U.S. and Mexico as President Obama heads there on his way to the Summit of the Americas. Plus, Ask Amy is back. Amy Dickinson will join us. That's tomorrow. And remember, you can now sign up for our new Talk of the Nation newsletter. It launches on Monday. Go to npr.org/email. Click on the box next to Talk of the Nation. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.